Welcome to the Faithful Fathering Podcast. This is Rick Wirtz, founder and president of Faithful Fathering, where we work to encourage and equip dads to be faithful fathers, to reflect the triune nature of God in the home by prioritizing their physical presence, being engaged emotionally, and leading spiritually by example. In this podcast series, we're talking about a new way of thinking, thinking as post-Easter, moving from Easter to Pentecost, that too often we just fall right back into our day-to-day routines after celebrating the most significant day in the Christian, on the Christian calendar. But I referenced last segment a statement by Alistair Begg, pastor, in his Truth for Life devotional. He says, in many ways, we are what we think. Our minds are the root of our actions, and it is through our minds that our affections are stirred. He went on to suggest that we think about our thoughts by considering three questions. We addressed the first question in the last segment. That was, what do men need to think more of? In this segment, we're going to be talking about what do we need to be thinking less of, or maybe even not at all. And to help us work through that, we got a dear friend in the studio with us today, Mr. Mike Rosas. Mike, thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure, Rick. Always an honor to be a faithful father. And
you are a faithful father. So yeah. you got promoted several years ago.
I tried to be.
Lydia submitted your name.
Yes. She was my better half.
Yes. What do men and fathers need to think less of, or not at all? And I first thing that comes to mind, Mike, is just a whole bunch of distractions.
Yes, we all fall prey to that. But you know, I think you have an oversaturated media world, and we have to control. You know, in social media, there's a thing called channels, and it's basically, you know, anthemic of the whole TV channel and the idea that you get information that's given through here. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole aspect of television, it's tell a vision. And so we have so many contrary visions coming into us that it becomes division. And so we have to make sure that our main vision is Christ's vision. Mm. And so it's important that we control, because we do have the freedom and the access to control what goes into us. My youth pastor used to tell me, you know, the Holy Spirit sits in the theater of your heart. And so what goes in through our eyes and ears, he is an audience member that views that. And so we must be a holy people that watch what goes in and what goes out. And I think with the advent of social media, we've become foreign to that, you know, and this idea of grace, or in this idea of being able to, you know, be free, quote unquote. The reality is the greasy grace freedom has actually put us in greater slavery. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's time we take back authority over our thoughts and our mind by controlling the channels that tell us their vision.
Mm. I know, you know, we introduce you as an author and speaker and a connector in general. I don't think we shared that you're also chaplain of the Houston Rockets.
Yes, sir.
And so you're dealing with young men that are handling money far beyond what they probably ever conceived.
What most people have, yes.
And they face a lot of distractions because of that. What's your counsel to those young men that are just, it's kind of probably an amped up level of what most of us are dealing with?
You know, to put it in context, they are young adult groups that biweekly get a high level year salary check. And so you think about that, every 2 weeks they get six-figure checks or seven-figure checks. And to do that at the tender age of 22 with the average of 60% not having a father, that is a very, very tough place to live. You know, we see the lights and the fame, but the reality is there's a lot of problems that come with it. So the thing I challenge them with is reality. You know, the reality is that right now you're getting six-figure checks. Right now you have 17,000 people shouting your name. But does that change you when you no longer get the checks and when they're no longer shouting your name? Mm. And so the idea is to give them a dose of reality, because it is a very surreal world they live in. Now, obviously bringing the truth and love, but I challenge them to say, hey, what you're experiencing, is it actually real? Or is it a facade? Is it a false worldview? And so obviously, always coming back to the words of Christ, we try to challenge them with, this is absolute truth. If your life or your experience doesn't measure up to this, then it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And of course, it doesn't. You don't have to be a multimillionaire young athlete to have these distractions come at you 24/7. There's the like you say, the news cycle, the sports, all the other things that are out there. What disciplines have you been successful in trying to help these young men or others in your circles to navigate through these distractions?
Well, I think the biggest thing has been daily disciplines of putting Christ first. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've taught them is that I bookend my day with God. So I personally, I try to spend 4 hours a day with God. That's what I need to be able to stay in the space that I'm at, minister to the place I'm at. So again, I challenge them, whatever that time looks for them. But I do tell them to hold time. Why? Because it's easy to say I'm spending time with God, and then we're praying a 4-minute prayer and reading a 3-minute chapter and thinking we're good. And the reality is that numbers don't lie. And so I challenge them with bookending their day with God, spend time reading the Bible, praying and worshiping. First thing you do and the last thing you do. The first thing you do, it corrects your focus. The last thing you do, it corrects your experiences. Mm. Okay. And so regardless of what happens inside of that, if you let it go through the filter of God's word and God's presence inside of community, it usually leads you to a healthy place.
Fantastic. Great, great tips. Now, I know you're a dad of a young family, and how about in family? What disciplines have you set up for screen time and all the other distractions that come at you as a family?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different with children. But the reality is, you know, they still need it. You know, being an itinerant minister, we had a very crazy life and still continue to. So we try to get them in bed by a certain time. But the main thing we do is we tell them in the morning, we start our day off with God. And so we kind of all get our space, and the kids have a children's Bible they read with. And so me and my wife, we have our individual prayer and Bible times. And then they have no social media until they are older teenagers. And they have a certain amount of time they can watch on TV. We don't have cable. We have apps that we have hand downloaded, and they're able to watch anything that daddy has first watched and given the okay on. And so they don't get on apps that we haven't first viewed. They don't watch shows that we haven't first viewed.
Fantastic.
And the reality is that, you know, we're not trying to control them. We're trying to empower them to live the best life possible.
That's great. Well said. Well, it is control, but it's a healthy control.
Yes.
And because that control, you always have to, it's always easier to let the reins out than to try to grab the reins after you've let go of them, right? So I really applaud you.
Try to do that. See how that works.
you know what I do. I give you an add-a-dad when you do right from it. You know, kids do not need data until they get into high school, maybe even junior or senior year. So, you know, these are the things you have to be very cognizant of, and I really applaud that intentionality because that's shaping their minds, and you're controlling how it's being shaped.
Yes.
You know, versus just letting go and praying them up all the time. It's important to pray them up, obviously, and God can be bigger, you know, cover our mistakes.
Yes, so
but it's so important to be intentional along the way.
But there's a powerful principle that Proverbs 22:6 is train up a child in the way they should go when they're older, they won't depart. Well, the word for way there is the Hebrew word peh, which is actually mouth. So it's train up the child in the way of the mouth, and when they are old, they won't depart. And what does that mean is how do they receive information and how do they communicate information?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that we train them up in the ways of the Lord. And so I applaud Christian TV, Christian creators. They've been creating better children's programs. So I don't have to give them other cartoons. They're able to watch Christian programming and be encouraged and empowered while enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, a large thing is what comes out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
How are you talking? Why? Because if you go into a high school cafeteria today, they're not sitting based on social class. They're not sitting based on what class they came from. They're not based on seeing the cheerleaders and the sport. No, it really is what they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see they unite around that, then we teach our children the importance of language and what it means when you actually speak, because the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Sure, sure. And that's in line with, you know, we talk about the seasons of fathering. That teacher season is the season that dad and mom are absolutely the primary influence, if not the sole influence, of a child, on a child. So you're building them up in the faith and the values you want to instill to prepare them for those outside influences they're going to face in middle school and high school.
Yes.
So at that point, then we empower them in their faith to navigate through, make good decisions in the midst of those things. So that's the intentionality that's needed, because the other distraction that's out there are the cultural pressures, whether it's gender ID or, you know, whatever else is out there, the social, the economic, you know, all these pressures on kids today. How do you help them navigate through what's your encouragement for dads that are facing these cultural influences that are just off the charts for kids today?
Yeah, you know, it really is hard. We have our kids in homeschool, so it's a little bit easier for us because we can control the majority of the dynamics. But for parents who have their children in public schools, you know, we totally understand that we have the grace and the ability to homeschool our children. But for those where you have so much information coming from the outside, I mean, they're talking about sex in third grade. They're talking about, you know, things that, you know, godly people shouldn't even hear of in fifth grade. And so it's this thing that, the big thing I would say is have conversations with your children. Mm-hmm. Ask them pointed questions where they have to answer. Not how was school today? Oh, it was good. No, did anything happen outside of the ordinary? What happened? Did your teacher, right? You have to ask those questions that become gatekeeper questions to identify what information is coming into them. You know, because I want to know, is there a ungodly worldview that we have to address? And sure, that's come up in situations with my daughter at church, because you go to church and you put them in a kids class and not everybody in there is saved. And I'm okay with that. I'm happy about that. But the reality is I still have to be a gatekeeper of what information is coming to my daughter. And so I challenge you, have conversations, have pointed questions that force them to ask, and then also use that as an opportunity to bring in a kingdom principle, a kingdom lesson for the day. Because the children they're always listening, they're always open. And if you talk to them, that gives them another reason not to get on the phone or any other screen.
All right. And I think that's so powerful. I like the open-ended questions as well. You know, what was a highlight of your day?
Yes.
What was a low light?
You know,
and then you just let them talk. But I do think it, their vulnerability to the culture has everything to do with their relationship with dad.
Yes.
And regardless whether it's homeschool, private school, public school, whatever the case may be, if they can come home and talk openly about it, then the relationship with dad and mom can help them navigate through that, which opens the door to the next area of something we should think less about or not at all. That's the hypersexualization of our culture. How are you helping your kids or what's your suggestion to dads to help navigate through that?
Yeah, I'm an old school dad, so I'm somewhat younger in age, but you know, I grew up with a strong dad, and he helped form my character. And so, you know, I tell my children, you know, there's ways to look beautiful. I have two daughters and a son. To look beautiful in modesty, right? Always well presentable, always in excellence. But there's no reason to show things that don't need to be shown. The reality is it's a very different world. I have an orphanage, and in Colombia, we had a soup kitchen for a period. We had a little girl who was 4, and she had a shirt that barely covered her chest and shorts that almost went up to her hips. And so I went to our director and I said, "Man, what size is she? You know, I'll pay for her clothes. We'll buy her some clothes." It was all worn and tattered. And she said, "That's not the problem." She said her mom is a prostitute, and her mom told her, she's 4 years old, her mom told her, if you don't show it, they don't know it's on the menu. And so you see what the world is teaching humanity. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be just as excellent and diligent in saying, hey, you know, you don't have to be seen in a certain way to be seen beautiful. We don't just say, hey, don't wear X. You explain why, not necessarily always the negative, but the positive. Well, when you present yourself in such a way, you're taken and valued more for your mind than just for aspects of your body. And so it's important to get children to buy into. I mean, my wife talks about all the time, my dad had a great dad. My dad would say, "Because I told you so." He would never explain it. And so me and my wife try to go above and beyond and say, "This is why I'm telling you what to do. This is the scripture it's connected with. This is the life principle that'll help you get along and accomplish the dreams that you have in your heart." And so we make it make sense for them, and it's easier for them to buy in.
media is trying to keep it at the forefront all the time, though, whether it's a pop-up on your screen, whether it's a commercial, a football game, or whatever the case may be. What disciplines do you suggest for men to, I mean, is a mode just to shut it off? Or how do you encourage men to think about that less or not at all?
You know, something God told me is that if you're not in the driver's seat, then don't get angry when the car arrives at a place you don't want it to. We have to get in the driver's seat. And so that means if it's lust or something like that, there's great apps like Covenant Eyes and these different places that help put bumpers where there shouldn't be. The reality is you should never go to a place, whether it's digital or physical, that uses that either in their marketing or in their advertising. And I mean, the reality is if you give it access into you, you don't necessarily have the power to make it exit from you. So if you look at it for a minute, reality is it could be there for a lifetime. So be the watchman over your eyes. David said, I put no evil thing before my eyes. And so the reality is we have the power. Just because it shows it on TV or internet or social media doesn't mean you have to be victim to it. Turn it off. Oh, well, how will I entertain myself? I understand at the end of a long day when you're exhausted, almost brain dead, you need something to entertain yourself. I understand. Well, there's apps that you can control. There's movies that you already know. There's games that you can play. So just because the culture is saturated with it doesn't mean we have to bow to it.
Right. And that's I think that's what Paul was talking about. I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says we're to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And I think the thoughts we're not, I think that's the key here is how are you disciplining your thoughts? Are you thinking and focusing about the things you want to think about, or are you letting other things be an influence? Are there any other just general disciplines that you would encourage dads to say, don't let the mind go there?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the tongue. It's unruly. You know, 24 hours a day, you have to have watches and guards over it. So it's important that you position yourself to be guard over it. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down every vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it's important for us, number one, to know what is the knowledge of God, to know what's in and what's out, what's safe and what's out. And the second thing is to not invest in what we don't want to grow. If you don't want certain things to grow, well, then cut it off. You know, the reality is people may call you holy, they may call you religious, they may call you extremist, but at the end of the day, you're able to live and enjoy the life that you want to live. So it's worth the sacrifice when you understand that how you form yourself is a harvest that your generations will reap.
Sure, and we're always discerning between the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
But yet we do need to be abreast of what's happening and going on in the world, right?
Yeah.
To be able to father our children and to be
sure
able to lead our families. When do you know enough is enough of this noise taking in?
I think that line's passed a long time ago. Enough was enough a long time ago. You know, the reality is we're at war, and the majority of people don't know it. And because we're at war, the best way to beat an enemy is to make them think that we're not at war. And so that's what a lot of culture has made us think, is that we're not at war. In reality, we are. So that line has been passed. You've crossed it. You've decided to be on God's side. So we're at war with the enemy. And so that's why we have to be, like Rick said, abreast of these situations, not fearful. And we also have to be on the offensive, not the defensive. I think in the church, we've lost territory more for being defensive. And so it's important that we are understanding of what's going on in the culture. Like the sons of Issachar, we know the signs of the season, but we're also able to, like Daniel's and Joseph, rise to a place because of stewardship, management, and excellence, be able to bring a positive impact. This is not a war that we're going to lose forever. This is a war that we're going to lose as long as we decide to sleep on the job. And so I'm challenging the church. You know, they always say, oh, the church is a sleeping giant. Well, with all due respect, a midget on his knees can beat a sleeping giant. Eventually, we have to wake up and we've got to turn the tide.
Amen. That's words, great tips there, Mike. Thank you much.
Thank you, Rick.
Passivity is arguably the original sin. Adam was passive as his bride was being tempted by the devil. And so, Dads, we need to reject that passivity and step forward as a Joshua with all the strength and the courage that goes with leading a nation into the promised land. And we're leading a generation either into a world that's under the influence of the evil one, or we're leading them into the kingdom that we're called to lead them into. So the way of thinking is to recognize it as a war, step forward on the battlefront, and stand firm with the full armor of God on. Read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and see what that has to say to you as you think about your thoughts leading up to Pentecost. That's the dad you're called to be, and that's the dad the next generation needs. God bless. Godspeed.